Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. It is a joy to be, well, at my stage of the game, it's a joy to be anywhere. But it's a special blessing to be here at Second Mile Church this morning, getting to enjoy the Spirit of the Lord in this place and being with God's people on God's day. And now we get to get into God's Word. And what a blessing that is. It always is. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, we've been moving through the book of Ephesians, and what an encouraging book Ephesians is. The sermon series title, as we've been moving, is Glory in the Church. I think the key verse in Ephesians is found in verse 20, chapter 3, verse 2. It says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus unto all generations. Amen. And so God receives glory in and through the church. And that is the message in the book of Ephesians. And so I specifically want to talk to you about this morning about a mystery, a secret that God kept from all of those Old Testament saints. For years and years and years, God had a secret and eventually revealed it to the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at that this morning. But you know, what I've always wondered, how many Baptists does it take to keep a secret? I still don't have that number. let's look at the Word of God. I'm so excited about the Word of God this morning. Let's take a look at it. Mercy. And you honor God's Word the best way you can as we read it. I want to just read verses 1 through 5 in Ephesians chapter 3. I ask the 8:30 crowd to stand to honor God's Word. And y'all do what you can, what you'd prefer to do right now. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll cover the rest as we move through this message. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, somebody shout amen. If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, key word, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading, to the teaching, and to the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Oh God, give us the courage, give us the boldness, give us the faith to receive it. Even as we read it this morning, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Three times in this passage, in this great passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul uses the word mystery. Now, the New Testament word for mystery is not the same word. When we say mystery, you know, that's something kind of eerie, kind of scary. But a Bible mystery is simply a truth that cannot be known unless God chooses to reveal it. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, so three times he uses this word mystery. Some have called this word a sacred secret. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm fixing to tell you a secret. All right. Now, You do know, y'all will get this now. You do know that you know some things that this world knows nothing about. Let me tell this crew over here. Y'all do know that you know some things this whole world that we live in knows nothing about. I mean, we are privileged to be partakers of this great mystery, this secret that God kept to himself for so many, many years. But I want to tell you, this sacred secret has affected and influenced and impacted many people over the centuries for 2,000 years. And it has influenced and impacted all of you here this morning. I said, it has influenced and impacted many of you here this morning. If you're saved, you've been influenced by this secret, okay? And so let's unpack this mystery, this Bible mystery this morning. The first thing I want to say to you is that this secret, this mystery has influenced and did influence the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We just read verses 1 through 5, and that's what that little paragraph of Scripture is all about. Paul's telling the folks at Ephesus how this marvelous Bible mystery has impacted and influenced his ministry to the Gentiles. And so Paul was a prisoner because of this secret. Paul was a prisoner because he believed in God's vision of uniting Jews and Gentiles into one body, forming and making and creating the church. The Old Testament, I'll talk more about this as we move through, but the Old Testament folks didn't know anything about the church. God hadn't mentioned it, not until Jesus showed up, right? And so, but you know what? We still have these cold water committees today. Not everybody was happy about that. The Jews were, the Jews thought that Paul was being prejudiced towards his own people. And they thought that Gentiles were by and large dogs. That's what they called them. And even some of these brand new Jewish believers, Christian Jews, kind of felt that way about the Gentiles. But oh, bless God, from the very beginning, when Paul was saved, God laid this ministry to the Gentiles on Paul's heart that God would bring Jews and Gentiles together through this wonderful thing we call salvation and form the mystical, marvelous, magical institution known as the church. Can I just go ahead and tell y'all, I get so tired of hearing people be negative about the church. I'm up on the local church. I believe in the local church. We're going to be forever. I mean, we've made our mistakes over the years, yes. I mean, we've done some silly things down through the years, yes. But I want to tell you, we're not going down, we're going up. I believe in the local church. And this was a mystery, a secret, until God chose to reveal it to people. And he used Paul to take this secret, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And the Jews were unhappy about it. And Paul had been preaching in the temple one day, and a riot broke out. Can y'all imagine being at Second Mile one day and a riot breaks out? That's what happened to Paul. And then they run him out of town. Eventually, they arrest him, and they take him to Rome to try him as a traitor. And at any point in time along the way, you know what Paul could have done? He could have just compromised the message to the Gentiles, and the Jews would have forgotten about it. Anytime he wanted to do that, Paul was a prisoner because of this secret that God had kept to himself for so many years. And then Paul was also, as we've talked about, a minister because of this secret. He had the responsibility of sharing this secret with others, but that wasn't the end of it. He was responsible to not only simply share the good news, but with the Gentiles, it was his responsibility to form and create local churches, houses of worship, if you will, fellowships and teach them about their wonderful position in Christ. Hadn't we been reading about those spiritual blessings that are ours? Those tremendous privileges and promises of all that we inherit as being children of the King? Remember, dialogue, this is not a monologue, okay? And because Paul had been faithful to the mystery, to this great Bible secret, God had revealed salvation to him, and he brought it to the Jews and Gentiles, and many of them had been saved. The church had been formed and injected into human history, and God had been glorified. And so, first of all, this secret influenced the Apostle Paul and his ministry. But secondly, this secret influenced the message to the Gentiles. Look at verse 6. Are y'all with me? Hang on now. It's really fixing to get good. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. I said heirs. Of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What an amazing, amazing piece of scripture. What an amazing truth that he's teaching here. This secret not only influenced the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it influenced the message to the Gentiles. Now, last week, we covered chapter 2, verses, 11 through 22, and we learned that Christ's death on the cross and the work that he did in the tomb not only made it possible for people to be reconciled to God, but to be reconciled to one another. And so Paul is talking here now about a new relationship. And it's now possible for brand new relationship with God and brand new relationship with others. How wonderful it is to know that my Heavenly Father is my Father. And how wonderful it is to know that God the Son is my Savior. And how wonderful it is to know that God's Spirit in the person of the Holy Spirit is taking up residence in my life, and I've got a relationship with Christ. We've got a new relationship, and that relationship impacts all the other relationships in here today, right? I mean, we don't have the right to be unkind to people. Remember that? With all that's going on, you know, Facebook. I first got on Facebook so I could keep up with folks, you know, up here in Clarksville when I was down in Waynesboro. And now I keep up with folks in Waynesboro now that I'm in Clarksville. But be careful what you say on social media. I said, be careful what you say. We do not have the right to be unkind to people. And even if we've got to speak hard truth to folks, we do it how? In love. That is correct. Not out of animosity, not out of anger. Anyways, that's another sermon for another time. But this new relationship that we have in God impacts our relationship with other people. And so now these Gentiles that Paul is ministering to are fellow heirs, whoo, with God and others. They possessed all the spiritual blessings that were the blessings of the Jewish folks. It was now possible for them to be a part of God's family and were partakers of God's promises in Christ. Do you understand how special your relationship with God is? Do you? I think a lot of us don't quite understand who we are and whose we are. That's what Paul's been talking about, our spiritual blessings that are in Christ in chapters 1 and in chapters 2. We are the blessed people of God. We've got a new relationship. But the Gentiles, Paul said, you've not only got a new relationship, you've got new power. Say power with me. Power. Look at verse 7 again. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working. Do you see that word working? That's the word energy. Energia. Well, big deal. You know, every time I see that word, you know what I think of? The Energizer Bunny. Oh, Brother Kel, I'm just wore out. No, you're not. You've got everything you need in you working for you and for His glory. You've got the energy. You've got the stuff. And then the word power there at the end of verse 7 is the word. That's our word for dynamite. Brothers and sisters, we've got the power to accomplish what God wants us to do. Our example in that, look at Paul. Did he have the power to get it done, to get the message to the Yes. He had that power. And friend, you've got power. You've got power to accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish. And our mission and the message that we've got is the same mission and message that Paul had. We've got to get the gospel to people. I'll tell you, Clarksville, Tennessee is not ever going to change until Jesus saves this community. Amen. Montgomery County is not ever going to be the county it needs to be until this county is enveloped by the love of Christ Jesus. And that comes through us. That comes through us. So we've got a new relationship. We've got new power. And by the way, I was out at Kenwood this week and had a meeting out there with some of the folks from Kidwood and some of our children's ministry workers. And man, every time I go out there, my heart just gets a little bit hotter. 40,000 people live within 3.5 miles of that church. And there is a ton of kids and children out there. And we have got to reach them with this tremendous Bible mystery that God, even today, is bringing Jews and Gentiles into one body called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got what everybody else needs and we need to give it away. All right, so they've got new power. I don't know who I'm talking to here today. Before I jump off this point, I don't know who I'm speaking to. But you have the power not only to become who God wants you to be, but you've got the power to do what God wants you to do. He'll supply the power. Dynamite power. What happens when you light a stick of dynamite? You know what we need to see happen at Second Mile Church? Boom! We need to get set off, right? So dynamite. Think about that. And then there's one other truth. He said, last of all, they have received not only a new relationships but and new power, but new riches. Riches. Look at verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Here it is. This is a significant word. The unsearchable riches of Christ. How many of you have figured out you can go to digging in the storehouse of God's love, but you can't ever get to the bottom of it? That word unsearchable means unfathomable. Can y'all say that word? Unfathomable. Isn't that a good word? What I have figured out is I am wealthy beyond my wildest imaginations. Man, I've got peace that passes all understanding. I've got wisdom when I ask for it with a believing spirit and a believing heart. Man, I've got purpose. I know why I'm here. I've got God's family all around me. I told this story. You know, I kind of like to sweat. And so I bring a handkerchief with me most places I go. And little Kenda Kokenauer noticed that I carry a handkerchief most places. You know what she did? She bought some handkerchiefs and put our Second Mile logo on my handkerchief. And so every time I get to sweating, and white the brow. There's Second Mile, and it tells me I am the wealthiest man on the planet because God loves me and He uses people. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say here? We've got new riches that the world doesn't know anything about. And I believe verse 10 probably is talking about angels in some form or shape or fashion. Angels are looking into this thing called salvation and the outworking of God's salvation and all. And they're amazed at the wisdom of God. And they're speechless as they see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ going forward, accomplishing God's will. Man, I've said a mouthful already. Wow. Look what this Bible secret, this Bible mystery has meant to so many people over there. What does it mean to you? Y'all are rich in the mercies of God. You've got everything, and the world doesn't know anything about all this. Isn't that sad? All right. This secret influenced the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It influenced and impacted the message to the Gentiles, and it still does today. But it also influenced the mission of the church. Now, look at verse 10 one more time. To the intent that now, say now with me, now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. By who? The church. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you. Where's Paul? Which is your glory. Which is your glory. Now, the Old Testament gave many prophecies about the first coming of Christ. I believe it's 333, maybe a few more, prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. Did He come? Yeah, He came. But there were no prophecies about the church in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets, the scribes, they didn't know anything about the church. God kept it a secret for centuries and centuries and centuries until He decided to make it known to the Apostle Paul and some of his cohorts. And then it became real obvious. The secret got out, right? That God was bringing Jews and Gentiles together, uniting them in one body. In a mystical, just a mystical, magical, marvelous organization called the, you know, there's nothing like the family of God. Look at the one sitting next to you. Sisters, brothers in Christ. There is nothing like the family of God. Now, I know some of the family members are older than others, some are younger than others, some are wiser than others, some are kinder than others, some are sweeter than others, but we're family. We are the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this form of the family of God. What a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. And guess what? The family of God has a mission. Did you know that? We're to reach people for Christ and we're to teach people to follow Christ. It's that simple. That is our mission. Now, we can get involved in all other kinds of peripheral things and other kinds of ministry, blah, blah, blah. But that's it, reaching and teaching. And you could add caring in there, right? evangelism and discipleship, however you want to call it, that is our mission. And why did God keep it a secret for so long? Well, I've pondered on that. And here's what I've come up with, and I think this is scriptural. What do you think Satan would have done had he known ahead of time that the church, that God was going to save Jews and Gentiles and bring them together into this marvelous family, the bride of Christ called, and they would be heirs of Christ Jesus. They would receive spiritual blessings. They would have the power to be who God wanted them to be, that they would live victorious lives. What do you think Satan would have done if he'd have known that ahead of time? He'd have changed his strategy, I'll tell you that. But God kept it a secret. And then when it was time, Satan got sidetracked. He got hoodwinked. The cross, oh, I've got him now. Put him in the ground. Oh, can't do anything now. Wrong again. Amen? Y'all, this is some good preaching today. Come on. My! How the influence of this tremendous Bible secret, this Bible mystery, has influenced the mission of the church. So, now he wants this mystery, this secret, to be known. He wants to get the word out. And he's going to use who? The church, to get the message out. And by the way, I love y'all enough to tell you the truth, but here's the deal. Talks about over in 3 John, God doesn't expect a lost world to pay for our ministries. We're not supposed to go out here begging, borrowing, pleading, and asking folks to fund God's mission and ministry. There's one amen here. I think for far too long the church has gone out looking for handouts and expecting lost people to fund our ministries. No! God has given us everything we need. And I want to tell you, if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, there's probably a problem. Because you're rich in Christ Jesus. And you have the power. I'm not going to say, I know we have trouble financially from time to time. I've been there. Hey, when I was in seminary, I had 4 mouths to feed. And trying to live on $18,000 a year. And it cost us $600 a month to live in the upstairs 900 square foot gospel ghetto apartment. I understand what hard times are about. But I want to tell you, there's stuff much more important than money. Yes. We're rich. Yes. We have stuff the world doesn't know anything about. And I love these verses over in 2 Timothy 2:2 that we're to commit these truths to faithful men, guard them, and share them. We've got to hand it down to the next generation. See these kids over here? See these kids right here? Barely, but you're still kids. We have got to get the mission to our children. We have got to get this message to these little ones. We're one generation away from being a totally lost nation. And we're right there at the door right now. But I want to tell you what, God's not done with his church. And he is not done with Second Mile. God's going to use this church greatly and magnificently and mightily for his glory and for our good. And if God, I'm going to tell you what, if we'll listen to the Lord and we'll go with him, I believe we will see hundreds, if not thousands of people born again in Clarksville, Tennessee. Ethel, even up in North Clarksville. Across the river. That's the mission of the church. You know, how could we not be for reaching 40,000 people? God has given us, didn't cost us a dime. He's given us 5+ acres and 3 buildings. And the buildings need some work, amen, girls? But he's given all that to us. Why? So that we can reach people for Christ Jesus. The high school, the middle school, the elementary school is right down the street from us. I can even throw a softball from the front door and get it down to the school. We're that close. There's people everywhere that need King Jesus. And I believe Kenwood Baptist Church as a campus of Second Mile Church is going to wind up being the poster child for how to replant a church. That's what we're doing. Why? Because that's what God told us to do. I'm having trouble landing this plane. What we're talking about here is the eternal purposes of Christ. Verse 11. God has such great things in store for us. And I don't know about you, but I want to see revival. And I want to see us snatch up this sacred secret and go forward with it and make it known all over the world. John Franklin and I still pray every Friday morning down here on the deck, and we're praying for revival. And you know what? If God doesn't revive anybody else, he's going to revive your pastor. I want revival. In Second Mile Church, we're just 2 years old, but this church already needs revival. We need it. We do. We've got to have it. And you know what? I'm just silly enough to think that God wants to give it to us. He does. In order to accomplish what he wants done. Whew. And I've said all of that to say this. You cannot keep this secret to yourself. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, which rings so true in our heart this morning. God, we've all got neighbors, we've got family members, we've got co-workers, we've got schoolmates and classmates that have no clue about this unbelievable mystery called the church, the bride of Christ. And more importantly, they don't know the groom. They don't know Jesus. And so, Lord, would you empower us and influence us with this great Bible truth today that you have made known now for 2,000 years through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and that you would revive Second Mile Church and our spirit to be all that you want us to be until one day the last brick is put in the wall and boom, we're out of here. Please help us to make the difference in this community of ours and all around the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.